This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 94, recorded on July 30th, 2018. I am your host, Matt Lyons, and in this week's episode, we'll be talking about the trade deadline, and is Corey Kluber going to die soon? I don't know. Well, I'll find out that soon. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. It's mostly trade deadline because it is the trade deadline. There are trades, there are rumors. Well, there's been one trade that's mattered, but most of them have just been a bunch of rumors. Some are more plausible than others, but joining me to talk about all that and more, as always, is Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
Corey Kluber's gonna die?
He might be, according to some people who get a little anxious over a couple starts in the middle of July. He's basically on the verge of being pointless.
You know, I keep on almost writing an article about it, but I'm like, I'm sure it's probably nothing. But what if it isn't nothing? And also, it's one of those things you can't really tell what it is, because it's like nagging injury, probably. And those don't make very interesting articles. I've probably written four of them about Jason Kipnis over the last couple of years, but what am I going to say? Hey, he just looks a little crappy today. Probably his knee hurts. I don't know.
He's looking a little crampy out there today. Yeah. Is that the way it goes? Yeah. It's just the weird. It's always just his knee is sort of hurting. Who else had an injury like that? I guess it's Jason Kipnis, his hamstring, and then
yeah, exactly.
Lonnie Chisenhall and his weak ass calves.
What are his calves?
It's really unfortunate, but that there's a lot of just random lingering injuries on the Indians, but that's what the trade deadline's for, Merritt. That's what
I don't think I've ever injured my calf. Now that I think about it, have I?
Really?
No. Like what does that mean? Is it a muscle or a tendon?
Oh yeah.
These are the things it's I need to muscle. Talk about on this podcast.
Haven't you ever gotten like a Charlie horse in your calf?
I guess, but it goes away in 10 minutes. It doesn't make me debilitated for 17 weeks.
So what you're saying is just quit sitting around, Lonnie, and get out there.
Yeah, just you know, rub some mud on it.
I've had a Charlie horse once. You can deal with it.
Yeah, I stubbed a toe last week. Hey, I dropped a furnace on my toe last week, all right?
Furnace?
That hurt, yeah. I sell furnaces, so, you know, sometimes you drop on your foot.
that's what happens.
Yeah.
So anyway, Merritt, we got some trades. Hopefully none of these guys are injured or too injured. Like I said at the beginning, we got a lot of trade deadline stuff to talk about. But first, we're just going to grade some... I mean, since our last podcast, I don't think we've talked about Brad Hand and Adam Simber, but I don't have a whole lot more to add to that. That's just the only trade the Indians have done. They've got bullpen arms. That's cool. They don't have their top prospect anymore. That's not as cool, but...
And he sucks now because he's gone.
Yeah, he's terrible. That's how baseball I never liked him anyway. Works.
You trade your top prospect. It's like the Cubs don't care about Gleyber Torres anymore. So...
Well, that's the whole thing. If you win a World Series, it does not matter who you trade. No, the Indians could trade literally everybody, and if they win, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so, exactly. I mean... Are the Royals? Royals fans are probably understandably upset over how this year is going. Sure, but that's all post. You know, that's because the team is mismanaged and wasting things, as opposed to just you know.
Well, I'd be upset if I was a Royals fan because they're not like going all in with the
right.
Like they're still dangling halfway in between. Oh, we're going to compete soon. I'd rather just go all in and admit it and rebuild than whatever Dayton Moore is doing.
I have the 2018 Kansas City Royals baseball reference page up for some reason. I think it was like a Lucas Duda for some reason. But yeah, like, why is Whit Merrifield still on this team? Like, he's a 30-year-old.
Because they're going to compete, Merritt. They're trying to win out here.
The team, they're so... Like, I was wondering, who's worse, them or the Orioles, right? Like, in terms... They have nearly mirror image records.
Yeah.
But one of them plays in a terrible division, and one of them plays in a good division.
Like, if the Royals didn't win a World Series or get to two in a row, they'd be like one of the most dysfunctional organizations, right? Because they had all those high draft picks, and it doesn't matter because they won. But I mean, this is a weird tank, not quite tank. They're kind of, I think they get a lot of leeway because they just won a World Series, which is good. Oh, they should. If the Indians won in 2016, I wouldn't care what they've done for so many years. But anyway, so, trade deadline.
Anyway.
That's nobody wants to hear about the Royals. They want to hear about the trade deadline, which is tomorrow at 4 p.m. So we've got, what are we at here? 15, 16 hours, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So the most recent ones have been just quiet rumors about some minor players the Indians could trade for. I don't know, Cameron Maben. I don't know, Bryce Harper.
That's now the most we're talking.
So when I did the news post of it, like my general idea is that we're this close, so anyone who's an insider who has a rumor is just dumping it now.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's new or they had it like a day ago. If you heard someone talking about Bryce Harper, you're sending it out now. I'm sure even if you were waiting for like more clarification or more like the trade might be closer, if you had some kind of word that the Indians were talking to the Nationals about Bryce Harper, you're going to tweet it out, which is what John Morosi did. He even said in the tweet and in his own article that there's not a whole lot of momentum. The trade's probably not going to happen, but hey, they talked on the phone, which is what a lot of trades are anymore.
Are they talking about Bryce Harper? Maybe you do not. Maybe just, hell, Bryce having a bad year, huh? Yeah, really is.
All right, later.
All right, moving on.
So where do we put this? Is this, we don't have a grading scale, but I guess in terms of if it happened, would it be great? And is there any chance it'll happen? We can have those two kind of.
Well, let's cover the first one first. Yes, wouldn't that be super cool? Like, that would be the coolest thing.
That would
thing
be pretty neat, yeah.
He would instantly be, I know Jose Ramirez, I guess he'd still be the second best hitter on the third best hitter in terms of talent on the team. Second best, maybe. I don't know. He's really, really good when he's really good. That's the thing. He's having a bad year, and he's still a firmly above average hitter. Like, it's all just Babbitt based and not getting singles to drop when they used to, but he's still hitting missiles, you know? Like, he's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. He's just bad by the Bryce Harper stretch of the imagination. So it would be super cool, and it would be the kind of trade that you just go, why did you do this? This is insane. it's a madman's move, but I fully support it. I don't know what it would cost at this point. Like,
yeah, that's the big thing. In a vacuum, without thinking about what it would cost, it's great to get Bryce Harper, but considering they're going to be asking for probably quite a bit. I think they have more leverage than the Orioles did with Manny Machado, which they didn't get, like, a ton in the deal. But I think with the Nationals, they can say to teams, no, we're going to just hold on to him and keep trying to compete. But the Orioles really couldn't. So maybe they could, like, pry Tristan McKenzie away if they really wanted to.
Because, like, the thing, the talk is always Bryce Harper's going to go to the Yankees, but there's nowhere for him to play on the Yankees now.
Yeah.
So maybe they, like, you hold on to him because you want to try and sign him. The Yankees were able to pull that off with Aroldis Chapman and turn him into Gleyber Torres and then get him back again anyway. But that's, having the guy in your pocket to begin with, and that's probably a little bit better. Although apparently there was an article just a little while ago that came out about how the Nationals clubhouse is a total mess. I don't know whether that means it's just messy or if everyone just hates each other there. But I didn't read it. I just saw the headline. So, because it's news. No one reads articles anymore.
There's just dirty jerseys and old magazines everywhere. It's really gross in there. It's really messy.
Yeah, it's a total mess. Old sandwiches just sitting in the corner. Like, what's going on in here?
Oh, chemistry-wise, they're great. Everybody loves each other. It's just really dirty. That's all they mean.
Well, they all bond over old sandwiches is the thing. That's also the problem with why they're struggling. They all have stomach aches from old sandwiches. Like that episode of The Simpsons when he had that really big old sandwich.
Yeah, totally.
Look it up. Yeah.
I feel like I'm on the outside with baseball, but I'd have never seen an episode of The Simpsons, which is probably weird. It's true. I've never, it's not like I personally avoided it. It's just I didn't watch it for the longest time, and then I never sought it out.
I'm pretty much a terrible person.
So on the Bryce Harper trade, on the other, our other mini scale, what are the chances of it happening?
I mean, probably zero, right? Because again, the cost is probably astronomical. It would cost at the very least, a top prospect, and then maybe even MLB. Like, would you trade Mike Clevinger for Bryce Harper?
Oh, hell no.
Would you trade Shane Bieber for Bryce Harper?
No.
Would you trade Tristan McKenzie for and some other bitch for Bryce? Yeah, so, there we go.
It's the same thing with Manny Machado again. You're getting him for just a couple months, and you have to hope he doesn't slump for a week, or else you just trade a huge part of your future for literally nothing. They don't need more regular season wins.
Right. It's basically what happened with it's not quite as a huge, like a close issue as when the Giants traded for Carlos Beltran a little while back, who had a not very good couple of weeks, and they fell out of contention. And then if you look at his numbers with the Giants overall, they were very good, but it cost Zach Wheeler or something like that. And so it just, he didn't actually help the team, even though if you look at the numbers when he was with the team, he kind of helped the team, sort of, if you look at the aggregate. But yeah, if things were a bit more nip and tuck for the Indians, it might be a problem if he had a couple bad games. But
and it seems like,
again,
go ahead.
I just think it would be neat. That's all.
Oh. I was gonna say, it just seemed like it came out of nowhere that nobody's getting these rental guys anymore. But was that just asleep at the wheel for a while, or has this been? It feels like just a couple years ago, you could trade a ton for just half a season of somebody, like what the Cubs did for Aroldis Chapman, which we've already talked about. It doesn't matter they lost Gleyber Torres because they won the World Series. Right. But I don't think anybody trades that much for even Aroldis Chapman for half a season anymore, do they? It's just like, that's done now. You trade for guys that have 2 or 3 years of control because everybody at the same time kind of realize it's the same reason like nobody's getting paid in the offseason, because everybody realizes how to win. And it's just get into the playoffs and hope you get hot and win. Like, you don't need a Bryce Harper if you're already going to win the division.
Right. And it's, I don't know, it, like you said, it's a little bit confusing also because like a guy like Brad Hand. Yeah, the Padres are terrible. But that doesn't mean they can't be good sooner than Brad Hand would be, sooner than Brad Hand's contract being up would happen. You know what I mean? Like, so it's a little it's actually gone this way as it has. I would think that these rental guys would actually become less expensive because everyone agrees that they value cheap talent way more than a soon to be free agent. Like the value of even though it's turned out to not be the case for the Yankees, you know, like with the Andrew Miller trade, that cost a pretty high prospect in the Indians farm system plus some other bits. But even that, I guess maybe a trade like that kind of seems like the right value for a rental, regardless of whether it's a reliever or like a Harper or Machado kind of a guy, because it's not your top prospect. That's why the Hand deal. I don't know. I've kind of lost my thread there.
So are you saying like you're for or against the Hand trade because you traded McKenzie?
Oh no! I'm totally fine with it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Mejia's fine. He just was never going to play with the Indians. So what's the point? Mm-hmm. I know we didn't get to cover this on the podcast, but that was kind of the whole thing. Like they're full of catchers right now, and they're not going anywhere. And they're going to have, and one of them is going to play once every 5 days because Trevor Bauer has to throw to him. But I was fine with that trade because again, you get a very, very, very good reliever for a while, and then you get an interesting reliever at the very least for even more years. But
yeah. I mean, the fact that they traded one prospect, no matter what level, how good he is, for two relievers for several years is huge, I think.
Yeah. No, but it's just but getting back to the valuing of prospects, I guess. I mean, all teams are run essentially the same. You know, like some are morons. But nice. There's teams that are way more on the cutting edge that have just gone full bore in terms of the analytics at the complete expense of everything. Like you look at the team like the Astros, who have just completely, like when the new when Jeff Luhnow came in, he cleaned house and just redid literally everything from the ground up, and look how that's turned out for them. They may kind of put some things a little more on the back burner than they should. You know, case in point, the Ozuna deal that they just made. Great deal on the field, but otherwise, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But then you have other teams but regardless, these teams all value players the same way. Like, no one wants to pay free agents any money at all, ever. They want.
And I don't see that as wrong either, like now, because look at Eric Hosmer and...
Oh, no. And I mean, they're not right. I mean, in terms of teams wanting to get efficient wins, everyone wants to pay all of their Jose Ramirez caliber players real Jose Ramirez contracts and, things like that. So I guess it's just you'd think that the price of a rental Harper or Machado or... I don't know, whoever else is a rental right now, just off the top of my head, I got nothing going on. Or like the Carlos Beltran deal of a few years
McCutcheon
back.
McCutcheon, too, right now.
McCutcheon, to a degree as well. You'd think that these deals would be less expensive than maybe the media pushes them as being. Like, I don't know. I mean, realistically, I would think that a Tristan McKenzie for Bryce Harper deal is way in favor of the Nationals, and I'm probably right in that, or maybe I'm not. No, he's still just a prospect, or I don't know. It's just
no. I think you're. That's always happened too. Even when people paid a lot for rentals, it was always way overshot what they would trade.
I get that's something that's especially now. Like I said before, all these teams are run basically exactly the same. It's a little confusing to me that there continue to be these overpays. If everyone agrees something's an overpay, then all of a sudden people will stop overpaying, right? Isn't that how economics works or something?
You would think, but it only takes one. I mean, you could have every team realize something is an overpay, and then Orioles come in and go, I'll do it. Case in point, Chris Davis. They'll give him a massive contract because he smashes dingers, and that's about all he needs.
So bad. Oh, my God. Chris Davis on the leash. This is my favorite season of all time. He's going to have the best worst season of all time.
So another recent trade. Was again Andrew McCutcheon. We just talked about another rental. He was mentioned. He's obviously going to be way cheaper than Bryce Harper. So on the scale of if they did it, would it help? Where do you put Andrew McCutcheon joining the
Indians? Well, my boy Andy McCangrong. I wanted the Indians super bad, obviously, because he's my favorite player in baseball right now. But obviously, it helped too, right? He's a better hitter than anyone but Brantley in the outfield right now. He hasn't missed any time at all, really. He's hit the, well, no, left the last game. Contusion is the status from Monday's matchup against the Padres is uncertain. God damn it.
It's crazy you had that all in your memory and just recalled it. That was...
I know, right? No, it's... But that's a deal that I could actually see them making because, like you said, he's a bit of a rental, right? He's, yeah, his contract's up at the end of this year.
He's way cheaper, so...
Right, exactly. And... But, like, again, what is cheap, I guess, in that case?
Yeah.
I do think he'd still bring some value to the Indians. I think him going from what's the name of that park? AT&T Park to Progressive would definitely help with his power numbers and whatnot. Like, but I don't know. I almost don't think the Indians are gonna make. I don't think that they're gonna make a trade deadline move for an outfield player. I think it's going to be a waiver wire thing again, like with Jay Bruce. Wasn't Jay Bruce a waiver wire thing?
He was, I think. Yeah. He was either waiver wire or like right at the end, but I'm almost positive he was a waiver wire.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, no, I almost don't think that, honestly, they're going to make the move just because of that, like I said before, the cost thing. Like,
Yeah, I mean, the longer you wait, and especially because they don't need him for the regular season, so wait and get him a little cheaper when it's only like a 2-month rental.
Exactly. I mean, you know, like someone like... Because we've seen cases where these guys do come up to be, and they end up being very, you know, in terms of just cost of prospect, very cheap. I mean, case in point, Justin Verlander last year, you know?
Yeah.
He was bought for a song by the Astros, and it was a waiver wire pickup, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think McCutchen or someone like that, because these guys still want to recoup some investment. As hopeful as I'm sure the Giants are to maintain contention, they're in what? Comfortably in fourth place right now? Yeah, they're very comfortably in fourth place. They have a losing record, and they're seven games back in the loss column to the Rockies. So
yeah,
their season is all but over.
But, I mean, how willing are they going to be to just turn it over because they're the Giants, and they always get these huge crowds, and they seem to be competitive. They want to be competitive anyway, no matter how clear it is they shouldn't be. But
that would, because that's the thing. Like, when was the last time they were down in attendance? Because right now their attendance is really bad this year. It's still third in the NL. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I think they're one of the few teams that could trade, like, McCutchen and still not do a full rebuild just because they have him. Even Evan Longoria, if they can find anybody to take him, and they'll still have – like a full team. They'll still have Bumgarner and Brandon Belt when he comes back. So they could just deal off and basically just give up this season without giving up several future for a rebuild. I think they're one of the few teams that can do that. It's just a matter of if they will.
Yeah, no, and also, too, they kind of exist in a very interesting place. At least I think. Maybe it's because they've been winning so much, so it's easy to say this, but they exist in an interesting place in the kind of in the scope of the Bay Area as a cultural thing as much as a team, a place to go as opposed to, because everyone said there has so much goddamn money. Going to a baseball game is not a big deal. Whereas, me, that's something I can do twice a month. But whatever.
You can manage your rent there. You can go to like several baseball games. You're set.
Yeah, I know. Four games a year. Get some garlic fries and you're good.
And then it's, as far as I'm concerned with the prospects, like anybody but Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber, if you can get anybody to take like Nola, I'm just looking at the prospect, like Nolan Jones, Noah Naylor, I guess Bobby Bradley, he's been slipping, but if you can trade any of them for even a rental, I'd be okay with. I think the problem is I don't know you're going to find many people who want them for a big name rental, unless they get the cautious, like it's really cheap, but basically whatever you can get for not getting rid of Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber, I'd almost do, even though I've always been on the bandwagon of don't trade just to get somebody for a couple months. But anybody you can get without giving up those two, I am quite okay with. Because the Indians, they have just the top heavy system is just McKenzie and Shane Bieber now. And right, Bieber barely counts. And after that, they have a bunch of pretty good prospects. I guess Bobby Bradley could be the next level.
If you they have interesting that,
prospects. Interesting, that's a good word like, for it.
Nolan Jones, I find to be interesting. But again, he's, high A, low A right now, something like that. Guys like that. Yu Ching Chang, as we talked about on the podcast a little while back.
It just sounds like an awful name, but we swear that's his name.
It sure sounds
good. And he's a shortstop, so, I mean, he's an easy candidate to trade at some point because he's not going anywhere with the Indians unless they
move. Jones is the same case, although, again, reading about his ability to hit is very interesting, although I think the Indians are...
Well, Jones is a third baseman, so he could easily come up and bump Ramirez over.
Right, exactly. Yeah, bump Ramirez off the team, exactly. So
just DFA Ramirez. You got no
one. Yeah, we don't need him. Yeah, we got Nolan Jones now, baby.
I think it will be interesting to see who they trade, if they do trade, because like I'm agreeing with you. If they're going to trade, they might wait for a waiver wire. But I'd be interested to see who they're required to send away, just because they're not going to trade Tristan McKenzie or Shane Bieber because they're not insane.
No, exactly.
Because those two help them win. Well, Tristan McKenzie doesn't help them win this year, but he's a clear piece of their next core, I think. And Francisco Mejia, because he didn't want to move away from catcher, just wasn't going to be part of that. And now he's a Padre, which seems almost like a punishment to the poor guy. He's on the Padres. he used to live in San Diego eventually, which is cool. But then you got to play for the Padres. I mean,
yeah, what is their minor league system like anyway? I always like finding out, like, you know, like if you're in the minor league system for the. With the Dodgers.
Well, he's on a ridiculous
Dodgers,
name,
you end up in, like, Round Rock or something like that.
Yeah, the Padres have a weird... I remember looking right after they traded. I'm like, oh, they traded with that weird team. But I can't remember what it's called. So another interesting trade idea for the Indians that's been up recently. You just mentioned it before the podcast. It's trading for, like, a Brian Dozier or... There's been a bunch of third basemen, too, like Adrian Beltre. Anything to get somebody to second base, whether it's Jose Ramirez or Brian Dozier... And then bump Jason Kipnis to center field. We saw him play that in the ALDS last year.
Okay, well, let's not put words in my mouth. I never mentioned anything about Jason Kipnis.
Well, you mentioned the first part that the Indians might be interested in Brian Dozier. I'm adding the second part that you can just sort of flick Jason Kipnis out there. Because his bat has been a lot better recently, and he's not going to be any worse. I mean, it's an upgrade. His defense is going to be worse than Greg Allen or Rajai Davis probably. But his offense is going to be better than either of them. So it's kind of like a... Who cares kind of thing. So maybe you can move him out there.
I don't want to be mean or rude to you, Matt, because you are my editor, but no. No, none of him. Look.
Anyway, so I'm looking for a new podcast host. Is anybody listening live now interested? Just go ahead and hop on Skype. You just have to agree with me on everything. So you don't want to put Jason Kipnis out there at all?
No, I don't, because they still need a glove, all right? I still have bad memories of the World Series of 2 years ago. All right.
Nothing bad happened.
I value, because offense exists in so many other places, I value the defense. That's why I like ideas like this Joey Gallo idea that's been pushed time and time again. I love that idea. I like ideas like that way more than the idea of moving Jason Kipnis to center field, because I just don't think it's a good idea. I don't think he has the defensive ability to do that, basically. Not to be mean. He seems like a nice boy, and everyone likes Jason Kipnis, but no, man.
So you sound like the Brian Dozier thing is realistic at all, or they would get him and just, like, DFA Kipnis, because there's nowhere else to put him. So
therein lies the real question. Yeah, like, what is the move there, I guess? Yeah. Is it move Jason Kipnis to right field? I don't know. He's got a second baseman's arm. That's why he plays second base, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Again, it's the only person I've actually heard mention the Brian Dozier deal was Rick Manning on tonight, Monday night.
No, it definitely was a real thing. It was, I remember Buster Olney tweeted it that day.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was even like a confirmed rumor. He just said they were looking for center fielders, but there aren't many center fielders. So they could do something like trade for Brian Dozier and then move Jason Kipnis.
Or they could just make Brian Dozier play third, move Jose Ramirez back to left field where he played when Juan Uribe was on the team. And then move Michael Brantley to center where he's bad at it. So there you go.
That's gross.
That's perfect. It's worse. A perfectly designed system.
Do you really want to watch Michael Brantley in center field? I mean, same disclaimer. I love Michael Brantley. I would much rather watch Jason Kipnis at least try center field than Michael Brantley.
Oh, I really want this idea to happen now, actually.
Michael Brantley, center fielder, is your dream
scenario? Mm-hmm. You look so smooth out there. Sure, he can't get to certain batted balls in the gap and... His arm isn't quite good enough to really make up for it, but still, yeah.
So we need to talk about my favorite rumor, as you mentioned a couple times, is Joey Gallo. I wrote about it today. It was just sort of tweeted that the Phillies and Indians, they were aggressively inquiring, was the wording, which is funny. There's so many nice trade deadline lingo, but aggressively inquiring.
What does that mean? How do you aggressively inquire? Come on, give it to me.
Maybe you just yell really loud, or just
give
like
me the player.
How's Joey Gallo doing?
Hey,
and when you text,
Joey
you don't put
Gallo?
LOL at the end, so it sounds really aggressive. Because you put LOL, it's just lighthearted. But... yeah, all caps. Put
the phone on speaker and yelling at it from across the room.
But no, we both love Joey Gallo. I've come around on him. I thought it was a weird idea at first, and then the dingers.
Idea. Who cares? The dingers.
The dingers. And you know, it's really worth. So I wrote that he's bad on defense because I guess I just abdomen, thought he was. But apparently a lot of Rangers fans came to his defense that he's got an absolute cannon of an arm, and he moves quick for a big guy. So maybe he wouldn't be completely awful in right field. They said he's an athletic third baseman, but I don't know about that. But I don't know. Maybe he would be like a really good fit.
Fast for a fat dude. Yeah.
All right. What?
He's acceptably fast for a fat dude. Yeah, okay.
No, I said tall guy. Fat dude. I mean, he is a tree, an absolute tree of a man, but
no, he really is. He's in everything he does in baseball, he's just a physical specimen. He has a huge arm. He hits the ball a quarter mile when he actually makes contact, and he just he's such a special player. The kind of player that everyone loves. You know, just the swing hard in case you hit it. Who cares about walks? They're boring.
And I mean, that's the way we're going, right? I mean, he walks a lot too. So you're either going to walk, strike out, or hit a home run. It's not going to be as exaggerated as Joey Gallo is, but he's kind of the future of baseball. Just these really big guys that swing hard and they either miss entirely, walk, or hit a home run.
Does he have more singles than home runs this year? Because I think last year he had more home runs than singles. And that, I love things like that. It's just,
yeah, he did that and he still had like a 123 WRC plus. So he can do it without hitting a bunch of singles. He singles just has so much power. Even
boring anyway. Yeah, exactly.
And is there anything better than just imagining Tom Hamilton calling like a 500 foot home run in the ALCS?
I just feel like he'd fall out of his chair. I love when he falls. I love Tom Hamilton falls out of his chair calls. So yeah, that would be fantastic. I think the only thing better would be listening to Rick Manning complain about him, because you know he would vociferously.
And talk about his old teammates that weren't like that.
We went up there, we shortened our swing up, and we...
Meanwhile, Joey Gallo just hit a ball 700 feet.
I wonder, like, there's guys like him. Like, obviously, you know, you want to, like, swinging for the fences and, you know, like, shortening your swing up and trying to hit it as hard as you can all the time. It's not the way the game is going. But there's some guys like him or Stanton or Judge... who I almost wonder what if they actually did do that? Like, they didn't try and utterly clobber. Like, they're all such, like so strong. Like, could they actually have a higher batting average and, put up better offensive numbers while still hitting 38 home runs or something like that just because they're so epically strong? It's something I wonder about every now and then, because some of these guys are just total beasts.
I feel like we've talked about it before, that it's hard to, like, just change...
Right.
Like with Yandy Diaz, you can't just tell him swing up and you'll be better. Like these guys, if you told him don't swing quite as hard, it would screw up everything for him, I think.
That's the thing, though. Yandy Diaz has the swing of a man who chokes up on the bat, you know?
Yeah. Although, he did a home run tonight in AAA, so there's something for you.
8 feet off the ground the whole way. Yeah. All right.
It bounced off the top of the wall and barely made it over. Poor Yandy Diaz.
Is it a home run if he hit it through the wall? I assume that's what he probably did.
He probably could, too. I mean, there were a couple when he was up. It was like 100 and something exit velocity straight into the ground. It's most depressing thing in the world.
I just wrote, I tweeted about that one night. Like his exit velocities were like 91, 97, 99, 106, and he was like 3 for 4 with 3 singles. Like, Jesus Christ. Exit velocity is a stupid statistic.
I've always wondered what it would look like maybe just like 10, 15 years ago, what people would thought of Yandy Diaz. He'd just be a weak hitter, right? Because he never...
Yeah, no.
Nobody would know how hard he's hitting the ball. He's just a weak contact
hitter. Right, exactly. I mean, he'd have he'd have years where he'd have like a 325 batting average, or he'd have these long hot streaks where he'd hit like 500, but then he'd also just ground into a 7 dozen double plays every year. So yes, no. Like you look at the numbers and say, it's terrible. I mean, he got a pretty good eye. He walks all right, but ugh.
None of those ribbies. Not enough ribbies.
Well, that's the thing. He might get more ribbies than you think based on the team, because he'd get a lot of RBI groundouts and things like that.
Yeah, I guess. I was thinking more if he could get anything out of the infield, he'd get more RBIs, but because he couldn't do sack flies. If he can bunt, he'd fit in on the Indians, I guess.
I was reading in some article today, I think about the Pirates, and apparently there's a mantra that the no Farah, sorry, my cat's being bad, there's a mantra that Dodgers adhere to, and it's basically there's no slugs in the ground is how it goes. Because if you make ground balls, you won't have a good slugging percentage. It's a very creative and fun saying. So,
they do that this year, or was it in the past they did it?
It's something that they continue to live by. So
that's cool.
That's something that someone should tell Yandy Diaz. There's no slugging. Like, yes, there are. They're right there.
I wonder what the Indians' mantra would be based on how they play. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but that'd be a good...
I mean, they hit a lot of home runs, man. They hit a lot, of home runs. They're one of the highest home run teams, I think, in baseball, right?
So they're saying it would just be dongs. That's it. It's just dongs, yeah. Period.
Dings for days, baby. All right.
So, Mayor, is there anybody, I guess we can just generally
kill the witch, maybe? Want. That's a pretty, because ding dong, witch is dead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
We're going to banner that somehow in Cleveland. Is there anybody else you want to see the Indians get? Because with the Indians, they keep them quiet who they're going to trade for. So assuming they do something between now and the trade deadline, just for the fun of it, mm-hmm. Is there anybody that you want it to be? Realistically, not Bryce Harper, but.
First of all, doo-doo. You said doo-doo.
Did I? As soon as I said it, I wondered who was going to call it out.
I don't know, because like, I've been vacillating trying to write an article about this for the last couple of days, but like nothing really comes to mind too firmly. And I kind of wrote about how nothing matters at all in anywhere in life or anything like that the other day. You really subtracted some of the existential dread out of that article I wrote, by the way.
I know. You got to get the Indians in there somewhere. I did like nothing matters, though, and that was good. And then the first day.
I don't know. I've thought about what about someone like Billy Hamilton or Delino DeShields Jr., guys who just have no bat at all, but like at the very least they have a glove. And then that could at least take, like, when things tighten up in the playoffs, obviously, and this is entirely where my mind is focused. It's the long game of being terrible at the plate might actually not matter quite as much as someone like Billy Hamilton, because if he does get on base, the impact that he could have over the space of, you know, 7 or 8 games, might in terms of sample size and noise might actually be beneficial for the Indians because, yeah, okay, so maybe he'll strike out a bunch and he'll have a 0 batting average for all of October, but maybe he'll get on base a couple of times, or he'll be a pinch runner, or his excellent defense in the outfield will steal a couple runs, right? So if you could have him in there and have him take 5 runs off the board over the period of 2 series, even. I'm just spitballing and throwing numbers out here that don't mean anything, obviously. Yeah, someone like that, I think, like that's kind of what I'm looking for, I think, is just a player who isn't, you know, quote unquote good, but has some sort of like physical dynamism that could impact the game in the small sense. Someone like Joey Gallo, I think, is a good example. He, you know, again, not a, you know, is in the net nothing more than a bare average player. He has lots of interesting things going for him, though, that could impact the game in a very small and central way, you know. So he could run into 2 pitches in a game and win the game for them, you know, kind of like Roberto Perez did in game 1 of the World Series in 2016. This is all a long way of saying, I don't know, yeah, someone like Billy Hamilton would be cool, or like Delino DeShields Jr. would be cool. I would like them to get a bat. When Chris wrote that article last week about the
that was such a good one. About the like Cardinals?
That's the point I'm thinking. I don't know if the Cardinals will make those deals because they need to continue to put good people on a field, obviously, because otherwise their fans will get antsy. Like, you know, they make a lot of money off their fans, and it never seems to show up on the field in terms of money spent. So they might not want to do that because they'll just piss off their ever angry fan base. But
those guys are totally rational. They are nice, down to earth people.
Oh, they're the best. They're humble, obviously. You know,
I mean, it says it on their shirts, so it must be true.
No, you know, again, someone like, I mean, I didn't realize Ozuna was having such a bad year. Jesus Christ.
Who, Dexter Fowler?
They're all having terrible years. No, him. Oh, Ozuna and Pham.
Yeah. Just, well, Pham's all right, isn't he?
He's right at 99 OPS plus. So, I mean, well, it's.
So with all those Cardinal guys, I don't know if Chris mentioned it. I didn't see, but they all seem like really good change of scenery guys to me.
Yeah.
Especially Dexter Fowler, because the GM called him out. His manager was awful. Mm-hmm.
No, and I think he could definitely be a guy who could have a nice impact. I mean, again, he's 32, signed through 2021. I don't know if the Indians – I just don't know if the Indians would, A, go for it, B, want him, or C, be able to afford it. Because he's still going to cost something. Like, they're not going to just get rid of him. You know, they don't want to dump the contract, and the Indians don't want to deal with that contract because somehow, some way, they're going to try and pay Francisco Lindor at some point. But someone like Ozuna – or Pham, obviously, are both guys that I would be interested in. Like you said, I think they could be good change of scenery guys. They both have had terrible seasons, but were very, very recently, like, you know, stupendous. So either of those guys, I think, would be a nice one. But again, someone who's flawed but has a prodigious talent, like your beloved Joey Gallo, or someone like Billy Hamilton, because the Reds, you know, by the time they're contending, he's not going to be there or be any good. So if I were them, I'd want to recoup something for him now, when you could still maybe, you know, get something out of him.
Now, as a counter to your Billy Hamilton, have you considered fuck defense? Like, just a little bit. Mash dingers, forget defense.
Yeah, I see where you're saying. However.
Well, look, I mean, they already have Rajai Davis and Greg Allen. So if you want somebody who can just run around and catch a ball and be fast on the bases.
I mean,
is Billy Hamilton enough of an upgrade?
Yes. He's literally the best center fielder in baseball.
But, man, I don't know. I'd rather have a bat than somebody. I get the horrors of 2016.
No, I know, but as a counterpoint to your mash dingers theory, the Indians are second in the AL in home runs. They do that already.
Why are they only second? Why can't they be first by like a mile? Yeah. Dream Who's big, first? Merritt.
I guess it must be the Red Sox, huh? No, I think it's the Red Sox. Yeah, they have J.D. Martinez, whose name is everything you want it to be, just Diggers Martinez.
There you go.
So,
no, I don't know. I don't like Billy Hamilton. I had a list of don't wants, and it was first Billy Hamilton.
Really?
Because I saw people saying that. I don't know. I just don't want another fast guy on the outfield who can't catch. To me, Rajai Davis is enough of that, I think. I know you'd... I guess at the same point, since the Indians are only second in dingers. But
he's not good at it. Like, that's the thing. Like, he seems... I think Rajai Davis seems like he's still a very fast end. I don't know. I sometimes think Rajai Davis lives a lot off reputation. He, again, still a very impactful guy on the base paths, but I don't think he's ever really been a very good defender, and hasn't been a good defender in a couple of years now. So for whatever credence we put on defensive statistics, it is what we have to go off of. And I don't know. I mean, he's, damn, man. You have an excellent point. Every time I think about it, and you're like, Diggers, baby. Like, damn, he's so good.
But the main ones I had, if you want no defense, how about that Shin-Soo Choo? How about that Texas Ranger?
I don't accept that idea entirely. I'm fully down. Oh, I love Shin-Soo Choo. Are you kidding me?
That's bringing back one. That's my favorite current former Indian. Is that the way to say that?
Yes.
Favorite former Indian still playing is Shin-Soo Choo. I would love to bring him back. I don't think it's going to happen. Just, I don't know. But he's having such a great year, and he's 36.
I mean, no role anywhere, but, you know, it would be fantastic, yeah.
No, I throw him in right field. I don't care. Throw him out there. Put him there. Platoon him if you want. Just get him in right field. Just hope nobody hits it over there. I think he can do well enough. If you haven't told, I've given up on outfield defense, really.
I saw people tell. That can hit now. I mean, it's a good thing that fly balls aren't ever growing in baseball, man.
I tried to quietly note in my Joey Gallo post that the Indians have the third highest fly ball rate. But they strike out a lot, see? So I think most of the fly balls just leave the stadium, though, or they're like really high and you can just get them. I don't know. I want Shin-Soo Choo. I also like Nick Castellanos, so they can somehow pry him away from Detroit.
Mm.
Derek Dietrich from Miami, just because you can rip off Miami so easily, and he's surprisingly good. He's 29, which I didn't realize he was so old, but he's still got 2 years of arbitration left, so that's another. I've never seen his defense. I don't know if he's a decent defender, but he is actually an outfielder, unlike Shin-Soo Choo, who should be a DH. But I like the idea of bringing him in for something if that's not super expensive. But
I think there are some deal I did like too, and I thought that was a neat idea. I talked about with a radio man a little while back, but yeah, that would be a neat move. Or, like you said, Dietrich would be nice, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of just little, very Indians-esque moves they can make that we haven't heard about. Because I haven't heard anything about them being tied to Dietrich or Leonis Martin or Castellanos or Chu. It's all the big names that people know. Which, again, going back to the don't want list, which I decided to make, one of my big ones was Adam Jones. Just because I don't think he'd be worth it. He doesn't want to come anyway. He wants to stay in Baltimore for his charity and family. But That's fine by me. I didn't want the Indians to trade. I think he's just one of those... McCutcheon is kind of on the border of this. It's just people know his name, so like they should get him.
But yeah, he's a center fielder. Why not him? You know, I see that. Yeah, but it's like
I've heard of that guy. Yeah.
What about Adam Engel? Is he any good? Would they trade him? Probably not, huh? He's 26 years old.
Who?
Oh, never mind. He can't hit worth a damn. He's a center fielder for the White Sox.
Oh, they don't need him. He can't play defense. And somebody in the fan post mentioned that was kind of curious. Adam Eaton, is he even healthy still? But that would be interesting if he is.
He wasn't playing the last time I went to a Nats game.
Because I mean, the Nationals are selling everything. I'd take Eaton instead of instead of Harper and just get the cheaper one, I think.
He's reportedly still healthy, but I wouldn't mind Adam Eaton all that much. Play him in right, I guess, right? Because you don't really want him in center.
I'll just put him in center.
Range-wise.
Put everybody in center.
And then they'd have him for a couple of years.
Yeah, see, it's another one where they have him. I think at this point, the nice, Indians are going to trade for control. I don't think they're banking on this year, but they're also really keeping an eye on next year and the year after. Because, I mean, the biggest thing was the bullpen going away, and now they've got two big pieces of that already. I guess Adam Simber isn't a huge piece, but they have Brad Hand who can carry him through next year and just get somebody else a free agent. But I think they're not. They don't see their window closing after this year.
So I think of course not. The pitching staff's still there, and they still have their two MVP candidates. So, you know, it's hard to say a window is closed just because you lose, what, Michael Brantley, a man with no calves, and Jason Kipnis.
Yeah, it's not. You still got a lot sticking around.
So
with all this trade deadline talk, Merritt, let's talk about something else important.
I want Adam Eaton now. Go on.
See, isn't that a good idea? That wasn't a fan post. It was, I think his name is Ambient Tribe. He did a post. He just sort of noted, but that's a really good idea that I like, is Adam Eaton. I think he'd fit in there. But the more important thing, do the Indians need to do anything? You kind of wrote about this last week. I think I might have played up the fact that they don't need to do anything in the post.
You kind of did, and you really, again, you removed all the existential dread and misery that I really had baked in there.
But it comes back again to the fact that the Indians, they're going to win the AL Central by a mile and a half. They're going to just need somebody in the playoffs. So do they need to make a big trade for somebody, or can they just rely on the random number generator of October?
And that's a good question because, I mean, obviously it helps to have really, really great players so you can just crush people as you go through October, like the Astros did last year. But you can't really just make an Astros team, can you? Because that took 5 years and a whole bunch of badness. I mean, that honestly makes sense. You know, they got random number generated out of the playoffs pretty quick last year and then went the other way really well the year before, so... Right, exactly. Like it's amazing how hard it went one way and then the other. Jesus Christ.
Hard either way to be upset, no matter what they do. Like, if they trade somebody cool, if they don't, I get it.
And, like, it's just, the issue, again, is just finding where to put them, because so much of the roster is affixed. Like, the only slots they really have are two, or one and a half, or two, maybe, outfield spots, but the amount of guys who are available to fill those spots are expensive or hard to find. So I think they could still be fine if they didn't make a move. I think it's more of a, it would sure would be nice. Like they have what? They have 57 wins now. I figure those at this point with the addition of, you know, Brad Hand and Simber and the bullpen getting back healthy and things like that. And assuming that Yonder Alonso, who I just realized over the last month has like a 960 OPS or something like that. If he turns in, if his second half of this year is like his first half of last year, they're going to win like 94 games again, and it's going to be just so easy. So it's so hard to find someone who would have the kind of impact that you'd have, you know, that you'd want someone to have in October, because it would have to be like a Harper type, or someone who, as you mentioned with Joey Gallo, just someone who's just really, really powerful, but, you know, flawed, who just accidentally runs into a bunch of pitches or something. So, I don't know. It would be nice, but I don't think they need to do anything, honestly. The team is good. I think the team is better than people give it credit for, just because of how bad a couple of games have ended. But, I don't know. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I'm perfectly fine without making a trade. If they have Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, and Mike Clevenger, you have that in a series, you can kind of just hope the rest falls into place without trading a bunch of people. It's why I wasn't upset about Manny Machado. I'm not going to be when they don't trade for Bryce Harper, I'm not going to care too much.
Right.
I mean, they have a great lineup, like you said. They have three holes on the outfield, maybe a hole at catcher, depending if Yan Gomes actually decides to hit for a week at a time. But, I mean, they have what, the best infield in baseball, the best starting rotation in baseball, or one of them, and then they have a pretty good bullpen. You can win a World Series with that.
Yeah. I
mean, teams have won with a lot worse.
Like, I guess, like, it's, yes, it, you know, a team like the Astros is very daunting.
Which is who they're going to play in the first round pretty much no matter what. They're not even fighting for seeding at this point.
Right, exactly. So it's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, again, that's where someone like Adam Simber really comes into play, where he just obliterates right-handed hitting, which is very helpful. So,
Now, is this the best Indians team, you think, of this little streak of 3 years in a row they made the playoffs, one went to the World Series? Is this the best overall team? Which is kind of weird to think about. They might.
That is kind of weird to think about.
But I mean,
Jesus Christ. Well,
are they better? Like, Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez are way better than what they had before.
I think the issue that we have to remember is just, I mean, well, Corey Kluber is going to be there at the end of the year, I guess. Because right now, again, he's still a very, very good, but he's like top 15 instead of top 5. But they still have a top 5 pitcher. And then Carlos Carrasco, if he can start performing back to his peripherals, then that's, you know, that's the thing too, is the pitching there. And then the bullpen has been fixed. But maybe it is, actually, in terms of raw talent, just because of what those two have become. And other guys actually kind of starting to, because, you know, after Yonder Alonso, you know, for as much as everyone loved Carlos Santana, he's,
I mean, he's not that really far off.
No, I mean, he's not that much worse, and he hasn't, and he's getting, and he's having, you know, he's starting to heat up. Like, he was unlucky and cold for most of the first half of the season. So
in 2016, at Mike Napoli, you didn't have Edwin, so I mean, that's clearly an upgrade at DH.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to really argue that they're that much worse if you don't want to go better. It's not a big of a drop off. But this is the team that everybody seems to think is, oh, this is, they're not going to win. I think this is part of just the cycle of having a good team. Like, we're expecting them to be so good now. It's not like we're the underdog, and so everybody gets upset over every little thing.
Well, because, like, last year was supposed to be the time when they actually win the damn thing. And then, did he hit another home run? Okay, no, he only had 2 home runs. Sorry, I'm checking Indian stats while I talk to you. Last year was supposed to be the game where they actually win the thing, and it ended heartbreakingly. So now we're just irritated, and the season has almost no meaning, it feels like. So
right. This is almost kind of a, not depressing, but not the worst either. It's a weird part of being a fan, because there's a whole cycle. It's you're really bad for a little bit, you rebuild. That's kind of fun, because there's no pressure. You're just really crappy, so who cares?
Yeah.
Then you're the 2016 Indians, where you come out of nowhere. Then your last year, where they have expectations. If you don't win in that year, like, the next couple years, I think, are...
frustrated, to say the least, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a Braves fan in the 90s, but how many of those fans were happy that they were just winning however many division titles and losing? I mean, that didn't happen in the era of Twitter, but imagine, like, if it happened, what if the Indians did it? They win the division, like, the next 10 years and never won a World Series. There's not going to be a bunch of happy Indians.
Much more recently, look at someone like the Tigers, and that team was an absolute powerhouse for 4 or 5 years there, when they had, what, at this point, 3 or 4 Cy Young winners. And then, like, Anibal Sanchez was, like, their worst pitcher at one point, and they just had a Triple Crown winner and just an absurd offense, and they just didn't win anything, so.
Yeah, that's true. They just had the one World Series appearance, right? I don't think they had another
one. They only had the one, yeah, because every year they were a little bit worse. They were kind of like the Phillies after they won in 2008?
Yeah, 2008. Then they lost to the Yankees in
2009. Yeah, because then they lost the World Series, lost the LCS, lost the ALDS, didn't make the playoffs, were in second, third, fourth, and fifth. They were so perfect.
Yeah, it's just weird how it works. It's just the cycle.
But anyway, this is, to answer your question, this is probably the best team they've really put together so far. And it's funny to think, it's not like it's over after this either. Because again, the entire pitching staff is there through at least 2021, I think.
Right.
And then Allen's gone, but whatever. So is Miller.
But again, whatever. They have Brad Hand and Adam Simber. They're both pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah,
and you've talked about it before, is the fact that they can't really develop. Or was it you or Chris that wrote about that they have a trouble with relievers, which is kind of weird. There's none coming up. And I guess this, you just force Adam Plutko to be a reliever, but he's not going to be great there either.
I mean, the thing is, too, there's just some things I forgot. If you go and read the comments of that article, some guys did point out that there was a guy who threw like 98 that they traded for Adam, that was in the Andrew Miller deal. And there was some other name who was supposed to be a good arm, but then he got Tommy John surgery in like March or something like that. So it's just they've had a little bit of bad luck as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the relievers were JP FireEisen and Ben Heller. They both traded.
Yeah, okay. And at least one of those guys.
Yeah, but still.
So
that was a ton they gave up for Andrew Miller, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, again, was it worth it? It seems like
absolutely. I'm just saying, at the time, that's so much to give up.
Because that's a conversation for an entire podcast, is what is worth it, you know, when it comes to a trade. Like, what makes it not worth it with the Francisco Mejia deal, you know? Like, if he wins, what, an MVP? If he hits 300 and, you know, it turns into offensively a Victor Martinez
kind of a bad. If the Indians win the World Series, getting Brad Hand and Adam Simber?
And I get, well, no, let's say they didn't win the World Series, but they just continue to contend, or even absent that, let's say Brad Hand is very good, but Mejia is, you know, he becomes Mr. Padre too. Like, is that worth it? I don't know. I mean, what if he's just pretty good for a long time? You know, like, what if he's like JT Realmuto, basically, you know, like for 8 years or something like that?
I mean, winning the World Series is such a huge threshold. If they don't, I'd care a lot more about how good Francisco Mejia is, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, if they win, I don't care if he wins like seven MVPs in a row. If Brad Hand plays a huge part in the Indians winning a World Series, he can be a Hall of Famer. I'll clap for him. I don't care. But
yeah.
But I mean, if they don't, even if he's like a JT Realmuto for a few years, that's going to hurt a little bit if the Indians don't win the World Series from it, because they're not going to have a great catcher for a long time unless Eric Haas is really good. But
again, yeah, and this is the thing that so many people have talked and written about, like, what makes a good catcher. We still can't quantify what makes a great catcher. So maybe he would put up the numbers, but at the same time, the Indians would in the net be worse. Who knows? Because if he's not being a good catcher, and all the other small things, like not just the framing, but the things we don't have ways to track yet, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but this is all what makes the trade deadline so fun. I don't know if it's more exaggerated in baseball than other sports, but there's so much gambling, basically, with the trade deadline that it makes it so much fun to talk about and think about. I guess other sports are the same, but in basketball, you can just assemble a couple people in the offseason, and who cares? But baseball just takes so long to make a team, and you can bring it all so close to winning and then gamble on one player and either works or doesn't. That's one of the things I like about it so much.
I hate it because it's so bull crap.
All right, Merritt, every Monday we ask everybody on Facebook and Twitter for some questions. I don't think anybody responded on Facebook. You're all slacking. You can email me, mattr.lines@gmail.com. There's another email. Don't email it. I never look at it.
You can email me too.
No, don't do that.
Just I won't tell you my email address, but you can email me.
If you can find Merritt's email and mail him a question, I guarantee we'll answer it, whatever it is. You got to track down his email, though. We will find it, and we will
get it. It's super hard to find, I promise
you. So our first one on Twitter, at @sbradyartist, he wants to know, is there a particular reason Corey Kluber's strikeout rate is down this year? Has he changed his picks, Mitch, just to finish stuff, etc.? Also, we'll start with the first one, then we'll get to the other one. So did you look into this at all, really? I sort of did. There's not
I
a
have
huge
a
difference.
Few times now, yes. Because, right, so you know, again, I've been trying to find something to write about with regards to his not being quite as – but like, it's hard to, too, like, before I get to what I was going to say. Because like, in 2014, he was dazzling. And then in 2015, he was pretty good. And then 2016, he was pretty – again, very, very good. But then, you know, last year, he just exploded. Excuse me. No, I think one thing I noticed was that guys are more aggressive with him now. Like they're swinging, like not a ton more. Like this one, again, even in that case, it's not all that much. Well, the swing at pitches in the zone 63% of the time as opposed to 59% last time. And they're making way more contact this year than they ever have. And I think that could be it. So, there's the, like, his career contact rate 73.9. Last year it's 68. This year it's 76.
So the hard thing is finding out what's causing that, right?
Right. And so that's the real question. So, like, is his velocity down? Is his, and these are all things I've been trying to find. Like, his movement profiles aren't really all that skewed from a year ago, from what I remember. Corey Kluber.
While you're looking at that, the one thing I sort of found was that he's using his sinker more. I don't know if, looking at Brooks baseball, his sinker's up more and his velocity and his four-seamer's down a little bit. But it's not more than just like a regular drop. It's just, it's less than, I think it's like 0.3 or 4 miles per hour. So it is going down a little bit and he's using his sinker more.
And this was something, I don't know if you remember, I wrote about this a little bit, or a couple weeks ago actually. He did the exact same thing last year, where he threw more sinkers early in the year. And then as the year wore on, he started throwing more and more sliders and, or his breaking ball, whatever the hell you want to call it. So I'm wondering if it's just guys have caught on to that. Like, that's the thing, too, is like everyone is learning from everyone and things like that, too. So I don't know. It seems like my takeaway from watching him, it just seems like his cutter seems more hittable than it has been in the past. No, Farrah, no. Sorry, my cat's trying to jump on my computer. These are the tragedies of podcasting. This is nothing. This is not statistical analysis or anything. It seems like his cutter is a little bit more hittable, which is, you know, a little bit. I mean, his raw whiff count, well, that's not going to help me at all because, you know, it's only half a season, so whatever. But his, yeah, like his, the whiff count on his cutter is 15.3 right now. It was 21 last year. It was 15 a year before. It's weird to say that a guy who has, you know, maybe the best slider in baseball, it's his cutter that makes it all work. Because when you think of it, it doesn't make sense. They're both moving on the same plane. They move at very similar speeds, at least out of the hand. You know, it's like a 5 mile per hour difference, something like that. So maybe that's it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe his cutter just doesn't have the same kind of bite as it normally does, something like that. But yeah, it's something I still can't figure out. Again, it could be an aggression thing. Guys are just being more aggressive with him earlier in counts.
Now, remember, his walk rate is also really low this year. So is it maybe a conscious, I don't want to say pitching
well, the contact thing? Well, that's the thing. He's not – well, and again, I thought the same exact thing. But it's his – he's not throwing balls in the zone any more than normal, particularly at 49.9 this year. It was 48.8 last year, 47.9 the year before. But like in 2014, it was 50.7. So it's always been around, you know, 50% of the time you're throwing the ball in the zone itself. It's just, again, if – guys are swinging more often, they're going to, you know, they're not going to walk as much. And I'm wondering if that just might be the case.
Which
so they think. But again, they're not really swinging that much more often. So, I mean, is his velocity really suffering that much? I don't believe it is.
It's not. It's really, it's just the normal, he's trending down because he's getting older, but it's not a huge drop off.
So I don't know. This is one of those irritating things where maybe it's just injury. You know, maybe he's just tired and a little bit worn out because, I don't know, something. But, you know, like you look at the movement of his pitches. Like, if anything, his slider is moving on average more horizontally this year than it was last year. And vertically, it's got the same exact kind of bite as it always has. If anything, it's dropping even more this year than it was last year, too. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just – maybe this is what aging looks like. Maybe guys are catching up. Maybe everyone else knows that he's throwing more sinkers in the first half of the year, and that's why he was so successful last year. They were just like, oh, he's throwing more sinkers. I'm going to go after that, and then he just stopped doing it last year too, and all of a sudden you're chasing sinkers, and it's a pitch going completely the other direction. You know. So.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound the alarms completely here, but if you looked at his peripherals early in the year, even when it was great, you would kind of see this coming.
Yes. Yeah.
There were a lot of signs that there's something different about him this year. Hopefully there's just a knee injury that's going to go away. I don't know, but it's just a weird season for him so far.
And this is something also I've been trying to write an article about, but I can't figure out how to frame it or other things that are more vocal in my head than just kind of feelings, you know, nebulous feelings that I have. But like Fangraphs did a community ranking of managers. And I know every fan, everyone who watches any team enough has problems with managers, but for God's sake, Corey Kluber does not have to pitch 7 innings every game, right? I'm not the only one who feels this way, right?
I think he kind of did for a little bit. I said this at the beginning of the year that I was okay with him doing it as long as the plan is to let off the gas eventually, but it's kind of insane that he's still doing it.
Which is
they
like
have a bullpen now.
On Sunday against the, yeah, exactly. They have a bullpen, a very good, and against the Tigers who are bad, like they're just not a good team at all. He after 6 innings, they had 1 run. The Indians had 4, I believe it was, and they ended up winning it 8-1.
Yeah.
He was at 80 pitches or something like that. And, you know, the more pitches you throw, each one is more trying than the one before. Take him out after 6 innings. You know he has a knee problem. Let him, you know, give him some extra time and maybe give him an extra, you know, get another guy to you know, bring Adam Plutko in to pitch a game or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. It was – I feel kind of – I thought I was onto something early on there, that maybe Tito's plan was to just overload his pitching staff at the beginning, get a bunch of wins, and then let him coast at the end. But it's clearly not. He's still doing it. I don't get it. You have a bullpen now. Use it.
Yeah, they added 2 more arms. They have more guys coming back, and they found 2. Plus, like guys like Dan Otero and them are much better than their numbers maybe say. So I don't know. Yeah.
All right, Mary, last question. We talked a lot this time. We had so much trade deadline stuff. It's amazing. So we have time for two questions this week, but our next one I think is a really good one. My initial answer was going to be quick, but then I think there's more to this one. It was kind of interesting. At the new recusant, he wants to know. It's recusant? Recusant?
Recusant?
R-E-C-S-U-A-N-T. Can I just not read? Is that a thing? Am I illiterate?
R-E-C-U. Yeah, recusant. It's a word. It's like when I use...
I can't read. Good thing I don't write
a weird word in an article recently, and you didn't edit it. I'm very happy. Anyway.
Anyway. Will the tribe trade Trevor Bauer if he rejects their long-term contract offer? Now, initially, my first idea was, no, of course not. They're not going to do that. That's dumb. But then also, he's not going to sign a long-term contract. We already know this. There's no sense even offering it to him. He said that when he exits arbitration, he's going to be doing one-year deals because he wants to. He's going to get a ton of money every year and then just pitch where he wants to every year. It's going to be a new idea. It's going to be really interesting to see. I don't know if any, how many of them will be with the Indians just because he's going to be like, what, 20, 30, 40 million a year, depending on how good he is. But they have him at least through this season, next season, 2020. And with how the trade market is, with how much you can get for players with control, I mean, not this year, of course, maybe not even next year, or I guess it'd be next year. But so next year, if, I don't know, is if Tristan McKenzie comes up, if their pitching staff looks good otherwise, would it be worth it to trade the massive return you can get for a year and a half of Trevor Bauer if he looks like a Cy Young winner again? Because you're not going to get him long term. That's just not going to happen. It's more interesting than I thought, the idea that you could get a ton for Trevor Bauer and completely remove having to rebuild depending on how much you get for him. So what do you think? Do they trade him at all between now and 2019? Between 2020, I mean.
Quick sidebar. Can I say dick on this podcast?
Sure.
Okay, good. I think the only reason him not getting to sign a long podcast is because he doesn't want to get shot in the dick with a paintball gun. It's a little overblown.
No, it's not that. It's that
if was someone offers said, him but... $200 million...
Oh, no, I fully believe he's not going to take it. I really think that he...
I don't know, man.
No, it's... Kyle Boddy was tweeting about the fact that...
Everyone has a price. But anyway, to answer the question... No, I don't think that's a good idea.
You're going to get a lot. A year and a half of potential Cy Young.
I mean...
It's
going to
be a lot.
The only... Well, it's
gonna be where, a lot.
Where would the Indians be at that point, I guess, too? I mean, one would assume that the Tigers, White Sox, and Royals will still not be very good in 2 years. That's a long time. The White Sox at that point might be better than we think. If some of their pitching arms actually start developing. Twins are a bit of a wild card because they're I have no idea what's going on with that team. But I mean I think it's a stupid idea, even though I could see it happening, to be quite honest with you.
You mean the trade him is a stupid idea?
Yeah. Also, when Baseball Reference says that you're a free agent in 2021, does that mean after the 2021 season?
No, it means or you're... 2021. He's arbitration. He has an ARB 4. He must have been a Super 2. But he has arbitration 3 in 2019, arbitration 4 in 2020. So he's a free agent after 2020.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this is man, that's it. That's when he's a free agent.
A year and a half, you could get like a, I don't know, like a really close to major league player or a major league player and another far off, really high prospect. I don't know. There'd be a lot of interesting things they could do.
All right. Well, no, I mean,
what?
Well, it's just, I mean, assuming he's performing like this again next year and they're still good and everything is, I feel like that as long as the pitching staff is healthy, you keep it together because that's the backbone of the team. Like, I think trading him is saying we're done contending because. He's the best pitcher on the team right now, and he's the youngest, 27. And then I don't know. Yeah, then you give him one more huge contract. Well, you give him that $40 million contract, and then you let him walk because you're trying to win games and contend here. I just think that's a little bit too trade happy, I guess.
Now going back to
again in a year and a half, I'm assuming they're still good and they're still contending because they still have two, again, MVP caliber players in their early 20s. They still have the entire pitching staff. Corey Kluber is their third best pitcher at that point. You know, I assume I'm again making a lot of assumptions here, but I'm assuming Shane Bieber, fine, you know, he figures out whatever's, you know, he figures out throwing all the strikes all the time maybe isn't the best idea in the world. But, or, you know, whatever will make him great.
Yeah.
But if Corey Kluber is all of a sudden your third or fourth best pitcher, and then they still have a bullpen, and they pull another bullpen arm or something. No, it seems a little crazy because assuming again, maybe it's a big assumption. They're still a contending team in 2 years. I don't think.
Yeah, no, 2 years. I think is too far away. I don't think they trade him for the rental. Because I think if they're competing in 2 years, I don't think there's any way they trade him then. It's next year where I have the question if they trade him for a year and a half of control. But in 2 years, unless they're completely out of it, which is super depressing. But if they are, I think there's no doubt they trade him then.
Well, then my question to that is, what is the goal in that case? Obviously, the goal is to get other players with more control. But in the less nebulous sense of what kind of player are you trying to get then, if not a Cy Young caliber pitcher who can throw 225 innings and then also pitch in the, you know, like.
I guess that'd be a strength for strength thing. If nobody comes through in the outfield and then you don't know Michael Brantley anymore, you have Greg Allen, who we're assuming at this point busted, Bradley Zimmer busted, and then you have like nobody. I guess if you trade him for some amazing superstar outfielder and a prospect or something.
Andrew Benintendi, maybe someone like that.
Yeah, something like
that. Okay. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, whatever.
It'd just be a big strength for strength thing with the control in mind, too. But going back to the idea of him not, I am fully, I would sign up my Dick Safety along with him. I'll get shot, too, if he gets a longer contract. Because you know Trevor Bauer, if he thinks something is better, he's not going to do it. I will shoot myself in the dick with a paintball gun if he signs a long contract.
All right, that's a post idea. All right. Check that one off in a couple weeks.
I mean, can you imagine Trevor Bauer, for anything you want to say about him, if he has something he thinks works, unless something major comes along that for some reason he doesn't think this will work now, he's going to do it. He's going to keep signing one-year deals until he retires, I think.
All right, I'll say I agree with you, sort of. But I'll also say this, and I wrote about this a little bit last year, or rather in the off season, like how JD Martinez signed a pseudo contract like this, right, where it's 2 years, but then there's a ton of opt outs basically. And this was all Kyle Boddy to go back to him did tweet about this, like, what if pitchers just this exact idea, but in reference to Yu Darvish, because he hadn't signed yet and it was taking a while. Yu Darvish is hurt now and not pitching very well. So he signed a 6-year deal. Like, yes, Trevor Bauer takes unendingly great care of his body and all this stuff, but he'll still be a 30-year-old man when he's like, I agree with him when he said in the interview, it doesn't make any sense that a pitcher all of a sudden is going to be much worse in literally the physical prime of their actual physical life. But at the same time, like, a little bit of long-term knowledge that you, even if you do have a down, because if he has a down year, then what? He, instead of signing the $40 million deal, he's going to sign a $20 million deal or whatever. I don't know. I think it's a little crazy. I love the idea. I try and pull it off when I play MLB The Show because I don't want to play for any one team all the time. You know, I want to change the scenery, you know, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I think I think Trevor realizes how much money he has. And because Kyle Boddy was tweeting, he's going back and forth with somebody. I don't remember the exact thread, but it was basically that he already has an insane amount of money. He doesn't need more.
No, I know. And that's the thing, too. Like, and unlike someone like, say, Jose Ramirez, he definitely comes from a much more comfortable, you know, growing up and everything like that. He's made, how much money has he made already? He's already made $16 million in his career. And he's going to make, Jesus Christ, so much money.
Trevor Bauer or Jose Ramirez?
No, Trevor Bauer.
Oh, yeah,
just in arbitration, he'll probably make, you know, 15 or so this upcoming year, and then another whatever the next year, you know, 20 some. Yeah, you know, obviously he's set for life. He has generational money on top of whatever it is, you know, his parents did and stuff like that.
He's one of the few that I believe he's doing it like for baseball. He's just, it's not like a, he has a big heart. He's just crazy. He's just playing baseball.
If you listen to him talking, if you listen to an interview with whoever that was, the man is a total, he's a madman when it comes to baseball.
Right, and I love it. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I love it, yeah.
No, exactly. No, it's for some reason I love Joey Votto. They're just, these psychos.
Oh, I want those two on the same team, and I want like them to be mic'd up all the time.
I still think they'll sign a long-term deal and then get shot in the dick and go, I don't care, I have $200 million, and also I got shot in the dick. Which would you rather have?
Some poor 34-year-old Trevor Bauer is going to get shot in the dick. For
See, that's what it's going to be. Yeah, it's, like, I'll do a whole bunch of one years and be like, you know what? I'm sure my buddy's kind of gotten over that or something.
All right, man, that's a good
place. A two-year deal, or a 38-year-old signs a two-year relief. That's good.
He gets shot in the dick for signing a two-year relief deal, probably. Yeah, that seems like a good place as I need to end it, Merritt. We've talked about it. We had a lot of trade deadline stuff. We missed a couple weeks, but I don't intend to miss anymore. It was a crazy month, but so we should be back next week.
Matt, I got to travel the next 6 weeks, so I can't, but only on Monday evening.
I'm replacing you anyway because you didn't agree with my Jason Kidd's idea.
Forgot about that. Yeah.
So this is your last podcast. So don't even worry about what you're doing. I've got plenty. I've got people, Merritt.
I got friends.
I got so many friends. You don't even know. Merritt, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Have a great one.
See you later.